good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, February the 17th, 2016, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Scott Spears along with you here on the Now program, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. In the first hour, momentarily, we're going to be joined by James Drury, who starred as the Virginian in the hit TV series, network television series, from 1962 until 1971, The Virginian. A nice 9-year run with that great series, and Mr. Drury will be with us because there's going to be a great event going on in Ohio, the 7th Annual Cowboy Up for Vets, presented by Judy Schaefer and the Black Swamp Bandits Mounted Shooters. This will be April 22nd through 24th. It'll be at the WB Ranch at 1640 County Road B in Swanton, Ohio. And it will be the largest cast reunion of The Virginian ever. James Drury will be there. Roberta Shore will be there. Gary Clark, Randy Boone, Clu Gulger, Diane Rotter, Sarah Lane, and Dan Quine will all be there, and that is going to be the biggest cast reunion of The Virginian ever, coming up April 22nd through 24th in Swanton, Ohio, and we'll hear more about that from Mr. Drury here in just a few minutes. Coming up in hour two, 1 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by Ben Cohen, who is the co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, who will be live from South Carolina, where he is campaigning for Bernie Sanders. So that will be very interesting. That'll be at 1:10 today. Ben Cohen, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, live from South Carolina, campaigning for Bernie Sanders. Then coming up at 1:40 today, we're going to be joined by Derek Cressman. Derek Cressman is the author of the new book, When Money Talks, The High Price of Free Speech and Selling Democracy, and he's got a few things to say about the passing of Justice Scalia this past weekend, Supreme Court Justice Scalia. Tomorrow, coming up on the show, just a little programming note, tomorrow, Thursday, February 17th at 12:10, we'll be joined by Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. So you won't want to miss that program, and we will take your phone calls during that program. So if you have any questions or comments about 9/11, tomorrow from 12:10 to 1 p.m., February the 17th, Richard Gage from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. So don't miss that. We are going to take a quick break here and come back with James Drury, The Virginian, right after this. Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast food's in the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's by the Tomb of Kings, a Chuck Full of Nuts, and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula made Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty. But it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
I will do
anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, February the 17th, 2016. 12:19 coming up on 12:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is going to be a fun hour. And I'm going to tell you why in just 1 second. But coming up, I want to tell you about this event. Right here in Ohio, the 7th Annual Cowboy Up for Vets, presented by Judy Schaefer with the Black Swamp Bandits Mounted Shooters, will be taking place April 22nd through 24th at the WB Ranch, 1640 County Road B in Swanton, Ohio. Why is this a big event? Well, first of all, it's going to benefit the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society and Heroes in Action. And if you want more information on this, you can call 419-875-5146 or find the Facebook page. Just search Cowboy Up for Vets Horses Show. Now, this is going to be a very special event, 3-day event, because it's going to be the largest cast reunion of the TV series The Virginian ever. James Drury will be there, Roberta Shore, Gary Clark, Randy Boone, Clu Gulager, Diane Rotter, Sarah Lane, and Don Quine will all be there, largest cast reunion ever. And because of that, we are very proud today to be joined via telephone by the man who portrayed the Virginian from 1962 to 1971, James Drury. James, how are you?
Oh, Scott, I'm just fine today. Doing well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to being in Ohio in April. That'll be my 82nd birthday. I'll be traveling to go up there. I'll leave here on the 18th. And so that's my... That's my 82nd birthday, and I can't think of any better way I'd like to spend it. It's going to be a great event, and we're all of us just looking forward to it and very excited about it. We've been doing it now for 7 years, and I've been there every year except last year. I couldn't make it because of my wife's health conditions, but this year I'm going to be able to get up there and do it. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope we have a larger event than we've ever had. It's just a throw and a half. Those cowboy mounted shooters, the Black Swamp Bandits, put on one heck of a show, and they really are entertaining. And we have a reenactor named John Tipps who portrays Tonto, and he's a great showman, and he does a whip act and a knife throwing and tomahawk act, and is great with the kids. So there'll be something there for everybody, and of course we'll all be there in attendance, and looking forward to having some panel discussions and so forth, and should be a great time. I hope the weather's cooperates and it isn't too cold.
Yeah, absolutely.
I imagine it's pretty cold there now, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty cold here, but I tell you, really, for Ohio, it has been a very mild winter.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Hardly any snow at all. I do want to let the fans know that the event will start on Friday at 7 p.m. Saturday opening ceremonies will be at 9 a.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m. Celebrities will be available for meet and greet and autographs Friday 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There will be Q&A sessions, and there will be a Cowboy Up Dinner with the Stars on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. That's $30 a ticket. The ticket deadline for that is April the 2nd. If you want to be a part of that, you have to email. That is klucey3259@yahoo.com. Or again, go to the Facebook page, search Cowboy Up for Vets Horse Show, or call 419-875-5146. James, how did it come about that this was going to be a reunion of the cast of The Virginian?
Well, we have had numerous people from The Virginian there in past years, and this year they decided to go out and see if they could get everybody who had been in the cast, who is still with us, to get together for a big reunion, because everybody's getting older and we don't know how long we'll all be able to get together. So an idea that Karen Lindsay, my assistant, came up with, I believe, and with Judy Schaefer, and they put it together and got everybody to agree to come, and it's just going to be a great time because we just don't get to see that much of each other, and we're all very fond of each other. And unlike some casts, we all got along very well, and really look forward to the time we can spend together and reminisce and talk about the current and future projects and all the kinds of things that we can discuss and also bring to the audience some of the excitement of the chemistry we had on screen. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do that and get people to have a really entertaining time when they come out there.
What?
So that's how we put it all together, and I'm very gratified it's worked out. Everybody's agreed to come, so it's terrific.
What do you think it would be like to be with your old pals again?
Well, it would be great. I haven't seen a lot of these guys for some time, and I've been off the road. Usually, in the course of a year, I'd go about 40,000 miles with my car, going to various places, and I run into most of these people at one place or another. But this year, I've been off the road entirely because of my wife's health, and real happy that we could get this worked out. We're going to be able to have 24/7 care for her while I'm gone. I'll be gone 9 days. It takes 3 days to get up there and 3 days to get back, and of course I'm there for 3 days, so I'll be gone 9 or 10 days, and she'll be well taken care of here. So I feel like I can get away and go, and that's the only reason I can make the trip, and we can't take care of her. So I'm really happy about that, and it'll be the only event I'm out at this year. So I hope that people will come from far and wide to see us, and I'm sure they will. They usually come from as far away as Australia and New Zealand and Switzerland and Germany and Italy and all over the globe to the event, and I think they will even more so this year because of the large number of cast members that are going to be there. So
absolutely,
that's my hope.
James, what was your childhood like? I want to talk a little bit about your life and times here. What was your growing up like?
Well, it was wonderful. I was born in New York City. My dad was a professor of marketing and advertising at New York University. He was there for 42 years. And I was born in 1934, and 6 weeks after I was born, my mom and dad loaded up the car and went to Oregon, because my mother was from Oregon, and they had acquired some ranch property out there, and of course, over the course of time, they had two major ranches, and I was raised primarily in Oregon until my junior high school years, and then we started spending winters in California. I went to the last year of junior high and high school in Los Angeles. My mother was determined that my brother and myself would be child movie stars, and she took us to every audition and cattle call and goat roping she could find, and tried to get us parts in all these films and theater and pictures and so forth. And of course, I'm really kind of grateful that we never did get a job as child actors. Well, I did my first film when I was 20, and that was after I'd completed 3 years of university at NYU, and I'd had a lot of training at that point in classical theater and Shakespeare and Shaw and Barry and Milne, and I was prepared to be a classical actor. And when I got to California, I was there 7 days, and I got a motion 7-year movie contract at MGM. And one of the very first things they did, not the first thing they did, but one of the first things they did, was put me on a horse. And they found out that since I'd been on horseback since I was in diapers, that I could ride. And they put a gun in my hand and say, "Stay on that horse and don't get off." So most of my motion picture career was involved with acting in westerns, and I am very grateful for that, and very happy that that's the way it worked out. However, I would like to have done some more contemporary things, but you get it's very easy to get typecast in Hollywood, and that was that's what happened to me. And of course, when you do one character for 9 seasons, that leaves an indelible impression, not only on the audience but on the producers and directors. So I've had very little success doing contemporary things or modern motion pictures or anything opposed to Western since I got started because of those accidental elements. But we have to be grateful for what we have, and I'm very, very grateful to have had the chance to appear in so many great Westerns over the years. And of course, the Virginian being the crown and glory, and I'm very proud of that show, and I think the fact that it's still showing to such great acclaim around the world is a tribute to what we did. And our 90-minute format allowed us to have really big, important, juicy guest star roles for men and women, and consequently we had some of the biggest names in Hollywood came and did the Virginian over the years, and we always had somebody really gifted and wonderful to work with as a guest star. So it was exciting going to work every day on the show, because you had to bring your game up to the game of the people that were there, and they gave us a lot to work with. So we had a show that we enjoyed making very, very much, and it has stood the test of time. It's still very, very popular. Shows on INS, the Inspiration Channel, INSP, every Friday and Saturday. I think twice on Friday and 3 or 4 times on Saturday. So, and people just eat it up and want to see it again. Even after they've seen the episodes, they don't seem to get tired of them. So we're very blessed and grateful for that.
Who was your favorite guest star?
Oh, I couldn't begin to name a favorite. Furthermore, most of those ladies are still alive, and they've got spies everywhere. I would never pick one out of the crowd and name them as my favorite. I mean, we work with Joan Crawford and Betty Davis and Vera Miles and Donna Winter, and the list just goes on and on of people that we had a chance to work with. Jan Shepherd and Ruta Lee were two of my favorites and very close friends, and they did numerous episodes, and it was just great. But we had male stars too, such as George C. Scott and Robert Redford came and did the show, and we just had very exciting times with the people we had to work with.
You talked a little bit about being typecast there, James. For people who really don't understand, when the Virginian was over and you went out to maybe get in a contemporary piece, what would happen? Did the roles just not come to you, or did you go on auditions? How did that all take place?
Well, some of both. I went on auditions and didn't get the job, and then a lot of the time the parts would come up and they wouldn't even care to consider me for the part, because they all I could see in their mind's eye was the man in the black hat. So that's, you know, television overexposes everybody. I don't care who you are. If you're going to do a television series, it will overexpose you. It will give the audience, you reach more people in a television show in one night than you can reach in a motion picture theater in 5 years. But the downside of that is that everybody has seen you and seen you do this role, and even though you're quite capable of doing all kinds of roles, the producers and directors don't see that. They see what they've seen, and it's just a very difficult situation. If you're not starring in a television show, you're working as a guest star or as a character actor in various roles, you have a lot more longevity, because people will accept you, and producers and directors will accept you in a variety of roles. So when you've had the starring role in a series for 9 years, as I have, it's very difficult to find anybody willing to put you into another a different situation. And of course, that's just the way. Those are the cards we're dealt. You have to play the cards you're dealt. We all know that. And I've been very happy to play them, and I've had a wonderful career. I have no complaints at all. It's just I wish I had a chance to do a larger variety of things. But that's just a personal complaint, and certainly no complaint about my career, because I had a chance to work with some of the greatest actors and actresses that ever came down the pike, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. So.
Absolutely.
I'm a happy camper, believe me.
James, you did some work for Walt Disney. What was that like?
Well, it was great. Walt was the most unique individual I ever met, as the head of the studio and a producer of great films and great animation, and the inventor of Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny and all those wonderful characters he animated. He would come out on the lot every day, no matter how many films were shooting, and he would shake hands and say hello with everybody. I'm not talking about the stars. He would shake hands with the guy that was raking up the horse manure, and he would do it every day that he was at the studio. He'd take several hours every morning and walk the lot and say hello to everybody and tell them how happy he was that they were there working on in his studio and helping to create pictures for him. And I thought that was a great way to keep a family atmosphere and a friendly atmosphere going. And everybody who knew Walt just loved him and wanted to work very hard for him because of that. He was a true gentleman. And I was always very impressed with that. My time with Disney was really very enjoyable. I started, I guess the first film I made for them was Toby Tyler, where I shot that chimp out of a tree, and I've never lived that down. Everybody always talks about that. I thought it was a coon or something else, a raccoon, and I shot up into the tree, and it was a chimpanzee. But I only winged him. I didn't kill him. So I guess people finally begin to forgive me for that. And then I got a wonderful part in Pollyanna, which was a tremendous classic film. It's shown every day somewhere on television. People are always saying, I just saw you in Pollyanna. I played Uncle George and Nancy Olsen's boyfriend, and we had a grand time. And then I got to do some of the Elphego Baca television shows. I think I did two or three of those. The fellow just passed away. I can't think of his name now. Do you remember the motion picture Big with Tom Hanks?
Yes. Robert Loggia.
I'm talking about Robert Loggia. That's exactly right.
Yes.
I was
going to
say the guy that was playing the big piano with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
That was Robert Loggia. He did it. Had a series called The Life and Times of Elphego Baca. Anyway, we did that, and then I did a very enjoyable picture called Ten Who Dared, which was the story of the first party of men that ever went, of white men that ever went down through the Colorado River Rapids, and it was led by Captain Powell from the Union Army, who had lost an arm in the Civil War, and I played his brother, George Powell. And we had Ben Johnson and Brian Keith and R.G. Armstrong and L.Q. Jones and a wonderful cast. And we were on the Colorado River there in Moab, Utah for about 8 weeks and had a grand time doing that. The picture never got a lot of acclaim or a lot of showing, but I still think it's one of the best pictures Disney's ever made. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a wonderful adventure, and we had a great time in those boats. We were in the replicas of the original boats that were used, wooden boats that were used by those intrepid explorers. And nowadays, when they go down through the rapids, of course they have those rubber boats, the Zodiac type boats. But we had the wooden boats, and they break up on the rocks. In fact, we wrecked a couple of boats during that filming, actually broke up on the rocks while we were filming, so and weren't intended to. So it was, we didn't go through the worst of the rapids, but we went through some pretty rough water, I'll tell you that. So it was quite an adventure. They named Lake Powell at Page, Arizona, after Captain Powell. Or maybe it was Major Powell. I think it was Major Powell at that point. Anyway, that was my extent of my employment with Disney, and I'm very grateful to have had the chance to do all that. And everything I did over there, I had a lot of fun with. So
how did you get your role on The Virginian? How did that series come to you?
Well, I had been under contract to MGM and under contract to 20th Century Fox, MGM for a year and Fox for 2 years, and then doing episodic television and all my time at Disney. And then I got signed by Universal Studios to a 7-year contract. And I had no idea they had The Virginian in mind or were even planning such a project. But I'd been there about 3 weeks, and they called me and said, "I want you to come in and do a screen test for the character of The Virginian." And I had read The Virginian in high school, and I was very familiar with it because about 3 years earlier, I had done a half-hour pilot for Screen Gems, which is Columbia Films, Columbia Pictures, of The Virginian, of The Virginian story. And we played the character in an entirely different fashion, but his basic character was the same, but his costume was, he was kind of dressed as a southern dandy, you know, with the lace, the ruffled shirt in the front, and the lace cuffs and all that, and a little tiny gun. They were had a gun at that point, and they were had a little, I guess it was rubber that just fit on the belt in a little sling holster, and to minimize the idea of the gunfighting and all that, which is something that didn't work, does not work on a 500,000-acre ranch when you have to use the gun for all kinds of things, not just shooting bad guys, but rattlesnakes and horses that have broken legs and all kinds of things. You need a full-size gun. So anyway, I had done that, and they didn't, I don't think Universal was even aware of that at the time. But I had done that pilot, and so I knew about the show, but I had no idea they were doing it. And then I found out they were doing it as a 90-minute version, and I got really excited about it. So I went and tested for it, and their only comment was, "You're too fat. You're going to lose some weight." So I lost about 10 pounds and came back and tested again. They said, "You're too fat. Go lose some weight." So in 30 days, I lost 30 pounds and just ran it off there on the Los Angeles River, the viaduct, and worked out 3 times a day and got in tremendous shape. And I came back and tested the third time. And right shortly after that, about a week after that, I got the word, along with Doug McClure, on a Friday night that we were going to start shooting on a Monday morning. And so that's how the whole thing started, and 9 years later we were done.
When you started that series, it became tremendously popular. It was a top 20 Nielsen ratings hit back when there were only 3 networks. What do you attribute the success of that show to?
Well, as I said before, primarily the fact that we had a 90-minute format, which allowed our writers to write big, important, juicy guest star roles for men and women. And actors and actresses will walk barefoot over broken glass to play parts that they want to play. If they see something in the role that they think will, that they can really sink their teeth into and have something worthwhile at the end, an accomplishment at the end, then they want to come and play the part. And they would read these scripts and see these roles and come and play the parts. So that was what allowed us to make what amounts to a motion picture every 8 days, 79 minutes and 30 seconds worth of film, which is as long as many feature films. And we really profited and benefited and were benefited by the fact that we had that 90-minute format, so they could write these expansive roles for guest stars. And that, I think, was a contributing factor, and also the fact that the permanent cast, in all cases, although we had people come and go all through the series, and only Doug McClure and I remained through the whole 9 years, the permanent cast obviously got along well, and we had a lot of chemistry between Doug and myself and the other cast members. And people felt like we were part of their family, and they saw us go through all these troubles and tribulations and go through them with working with the likes of Bette Davis and Joan Crawford and George C. Scott, and they responded, and they still respond. The stories are very dramatic. It was billed as an adult Western. We worked on all sorts of adult themes and grown-up problems, and it was a far cry from the V Westerns of yesteryear. This was a serious undertaking, and we treated it very seriously, and it still holds up today. So,
that's what
I think are the contributing factors to our longevity.
Well, it's very interesting. The series ran for 9 years, 62 to 71, and the last year you were on, the 70 to 71 season, the show was number 18 in the Nielsen ratings with a 21.2 rating. Why did it go off the air?
Well, you're talking about the year of the Men from Shiloh?
The last year it was on, 1971.
Oh, well, we had decided, everybody was on board with this decision, including myself, that we would change the look of the show. So they changed it from the Virginian to the Men from Shiloh. And we brought in Stuart Granger as the owner of the ranch, and Lee Majors as one of the ranch hand characters, the semi co-foreman or something like that. I mean, it was never actually laid out for in any formal way, but the idea was there were four stars, myself, Doug McClure, Lee Majors, and Stuart Granger, and we're going to do 24 shows, and everybody was going to do six. Well, I don't know what happened, but I did about 12 of them, and or 13, and Doug did about six, I think, and I don't know what happened with the other people or how many shows they actually start in. But people, I think, and this is just me surmising this, I don't have any evidence to this fact, but I think people were looking for the title The Virginian, and when they didn't find it, they turned it off, or tuned it out. They'd never heard from the Men from Shiloh. And I don't know if they publicized it enough or whatever, but anyway, that was the year we went off the air with the ratings still in the top 20. So those are the big areas of television production, and I never did know the reasons for it, or no one ever told me the reasons for it. It was just we were through. And that's the way most actors get the word when their show is over with. It's over, and you never do know how the machinations of how it happened. But nothing lasts forever. So we got a 9-year run out of it, and we were the third longest running Western in history, and certainly the only one with a 90-minute format, except for Wagon Train, which I think tried a 90-minute format for one season or part of one season, and then abandoned it and went back to an hour.
You know, it's kind of interesting, James, because the show was on for 9 years. Only one of the 9 years was it out of the top 20 Nielsen ratings. And yet, when we look back at that time, and it is so unique because it was a 90-minute format, but we still hear today of Bonanza. We still hear today of Gunsmoke. Why is The Virginian not held in that regard, do you think? Because it certainly had the ratings and the longevity.
Well, I would argue with you that it's not held in that regard. I don't know who you're referring to, but maybe people within the TMZ, the 30-mile zone from Los Angeles, feel like Gunsmoke and Bonanza are held in higher regard. But the people in Ohio don't feel that way, and the people in North Carolina don't feel that way, and the people in Utah don't feel that way, and the people in Connecticut don't feel that way. They revere the Virginian, and I think they hold it in at least as high a regard as the other two shows.
Oh, I think the fans do. I think the fans do. But when it came to things like Bonanza or Gunsmoke, you know, they had reunion shows. They had big movies that came back. Their last episodes were treated in very high regard. Why wasn't the Virginian the fans absolutely love it, but why wasn't the Hollywood, the New York brass didn't handle it as well?
Well, I don't know. I really don't have any answer for you. I wish I did, but I just don't have any idea. Those initiatives that you mentioned of having reunion movies and all that type of thing apparently just never came up, or they never thought of them, or they decided not to do them. I couldn't tell you the real answer, but suffice to say, what we did do, our 249 shows are still out there, and people are just loving them every time they see them. So
do you still watch them?
You know, there's a wonderful line in Ride the High Country, which is a quotation from the Bible. I can't tell you exactly where it comes from in the Bible, but Joel McRae, Randall Scott says to him, "Why do you do all this work as a lawman and as a behind the badge all your life for 30 years for $30 a month or $40 a month and a gold watch when you quit, when you retire?" And Joel McRae said, "I want to enter my house justified. In other words, I want to feel that when I go home at night, I've done something worthwhile. I want to enter my house justified." And I certainly feel that way about the Virginian. I feel I'm justified. Whatever we did well enough that people still want to watch it.
Absolutely.
That gives you a lot of justification.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. How did you see your character? How would you describe your character, the Virginian?
Well, basically, I was very fortunate in having a maternal grandfather named John Hezekiah Crawford, my mother's dad, who, when my father was in New York teaching at NYU in the wintertime, or 9 months out of the year, we were there on the ranch taking care of the ranch property and ranch problems, and my grandfather was there most of the time. He was a widower, pretty close. Well, my grandmother died when I was very young, I think when I was 4 or 5, and from that time on, he pretty much was attached to our household. So he was the one that taught me to ride and put me on a horse, put me up on his big Belgian plow horse. He had a team of Belgians. And he put me up there when I was in diapers. It's one of my earliest memories. I must have been 3 years old. And I stayed up there all day. I didn't want to come down. I just loved the smell of the horse and the dust and the sweat of the horse and the whole feel of the movement underneath me. And I just became a lifelong passion to be with horses. And he had me shooting a 30-30 when I was 6 years old, and my contact with firearms and with woodcraft and with survival techniques and with all the things that were evident in the Virginian's makeup were things that I actually adopted from my grandfather. He had come west. He was born in Kentucky and raised in Missouri and came west on a wagon train when I think he was 15 or 16 years old, and to Oregon on the Oregon Trail. And he had tales of Indian fights and privation and near starvation at times and the things that they had to go through to get across the country in those days. And he imparted all that to me, and I had that background that was part of how I put the Virginian together. And then I went to the book for the character as well, and reread the book, of course, several times. And although we did not follow the story in the book, at all. We, you know, the Trappist and Steve, who were, Steve was in the first three seasons, Gary Clark, they were both villains in the original book. And Trappist was shot down in a gunfight at the end of the book by the Virginian. And Steve was hung for, even though he was a friend of the Virginian, he had to hang him for stealing cattle. So we needed three leading men in the show, because no one man could do all the shows. We had, it took us 8 days to make one, or an average of 8 days. Most, some of them went longer than that, but only two or three in the whole history of the Virginian went over 8 days. And you had to use them up every five working days. So we had to have multiple units working a lot of the time. And Doug McClure would be carrying the leading role in one series. I'd be doing one episode. I'd be doing the leading role in another episode. And Gary Clark would be doing the leading role in another episode. And on one memorable day, I appeared in five different episodes in one day. I had to go from set to set to set to set to set and appear in all these five different segments. So that's a little far off from where the character came from, but part of the character as I saw him was his ability and his willingness and his absolute commitment to do the job, to get the job done, whatever the job was. And I think that has resonated with audiences ever since. You don't find the Virginian backing off from a job, no matter how tough or difficult it might be. He went ahead and got it done.
When the Virginian... Go ahead. Oh, no. Well, when the Virginian is on today, do you stop and watch it?
Well, quite frankly, I've seldom have time to. I have, of course, the full set of the DVDs, and I watch those from time to time. And every once in a while, I sit down and watch one. But basically, I'm so busy. I'm the principal caregiver to my wife, and she's has a lot of physical problems, and she's in a wheelchair, and we have to do a lot to take care of her. So I'm pretty much chief cook and bottle washer here, and I should amend that. My daughter does most of the cooking. If you had to depend on my cooking, we'd starve to death. but I do a lot of bottle washing, and I take care of her in every way that we have to, and to get her from place to place. And of course, at our age, life is kind of one long doctor's appointment. You go from one to the other on for all kinds of ailments and difficulties. And in point of fact, as today we're finishing, we've got two more days to go to finish up a 14-day regimen of going to the hospital every day for about an hour and a half for her to get intravenous antibiotics for a bladder infection she has, which is one that cannot be treated with a pill. You've got to use IV antibiotics to get it out. So we've been doing that, and it's just constant. You know, there's just something to do all the time, and I am very privileged to be able to do that for her. In fact, I consider it one of the most important things I've ever done. So I've walked the world with 7-league boots and been everywhere and seen everything, but I think what I'm doing now is very, very important, and I'm really lucky to have her to take care of. So,
do want to let everybody know?
That's where I'm coming from.
I do want to let everybody know again. The 7th annual Cowboy Up for Vets, presented by Judy Schaefer, will take place April 22nd through 24th at the WB Ranch, 1640 County Road B in Swanton, Ohio. If you want some information on this, call 419-875-5146. The largest cast reunion of the Virginian ever. James, how do you want to be remembered years from now?
Well, I think that's going to have to be up to whoever remembers me. I hope that people will remember me as someone who got the job done when the job was there. And I think that I won't have any much problem with that. But I certainly want to be remembered, if I have a desire to be remembered as anything, as someone who loved the profession of acting and looked upon it as a calling rather than a profession. I tell people all the time that I made a lot of money acting, but I never acted for money. I acted because I wanted to act, and I never really seriously considered anything else. So the idea of creating the illusion of reality with a character is something that has always just rung my bell and been very close to my heart, and I hope people will remember that.
James Drury, the Virginian. James, thank you so much. Can't wait to see you in April, and hope everything goes well up until then. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Stay tuned. Much more programming coming up.
You think I would know this, how you have all this audio.
Oh, you're impressed by this?
Well,